Morning. This is Kim Grahn, CEO of Nokian Tyres speaking. I'm very pleased to welcome you to this conference on Nokian Tyres' 2013 results here in Helsinki. As usual, we have audience. Here is analysts, investors, and some media present. And I hope that there is a lot of people on the phone lines prepared with good questions on our results and future. The material which we'll be using in this conference has been published on our website this morning, and so you can, and I will refer to the pages in the handout material when going forward. The presentation is, as usual, we'll first take a couple of key messages or takeaways of the market situation and how we see our business developing. Then we'll take a summary on last year's results. We'll move on to some of key elements also concerning raw materials, markets, and how we see the future in total, and then move on to the business area results and guidance. And of course, we'll spend some time also on Russia, as usual. But if we start first talking a bit about the key messages. First of all, last year was quite an uphill struggle in Europe for the car tire business. The market was down, both as total and also when looking at the winter tire segments. And there was, as you recall, also some like reduction in pricing globally. Basically in all product categories. Fortunately, the market seems to have been turning already during the second half of last year, and we believe that we will see some growth on all our key markets during 2014. I think that the only question mark which we'll come back to is Russia and how we see that developing. The raw material cost came down quite significantly during last year, and we had quite a nice tailwind on that. We also believe that the raw material costs will continue to be on a low level during 2014, and will enjoy a continued tailwind from that. And then last but not least, the key message is that Nokian Tyres' market position on our core markets in Nordic countries and Russia, and also on our growth market in CE, has improved quite clearly. We'll have a look later on at our market shares. We haven't been publishing those for a long time, but we'll do that exceptionally. This time we'll tell a bit more on where we are on different markets more in detail. But let's move on to the page 5, where we have a summary of the results. There are some slides before that with graphs, but we'll go straight to the summary page. And as I already stated, there was quite a lot of headwind in the marketplace, and so we did not manage to grow during last year, and our top line was weakened a bit by exchange rates. So in the 1.52 billion euros, you have to add in the ballpark of 56 million euros as exchange rate when looking at the comparable sales number compared to 2012. So 56 million of currencies that had a negative effect. And when looking at the operating margin, we booked about 25% of EBIT margin, but when factoring in a bad debt which relate to business which was done already back in 2012, we actually showed an improvement in profitability. The good point when looking at the numbers is that despite the fact that we had a flat or a small decline in the top line, we managed to improve our margins. Our gross margin improved from roughly 44.1% to 46.1%, and so quite a significant improvement. And when factoring back the bad debt into EBIT, we actually improved our EBIT margin from 25.7 to 25.9. So all in all, a fairly good result, considering that we were not like utilizing all the potential which we have inbuilt in the machinery. And of course, as usual, we had a quite strong cash flow during the last quarter. All the like winter tire receivables coming in. We had a very good relation to let's say receivables and collecting those in, and especially in Russia, where we collected, I believe, in the ballpark of 99.something% of all the receivables by the end of the year. And as a result of that, we showed an improvement in cash flow on operating level from 260 to 325 million euros. The company is, of course, again, I think 4 years running now, debt-free, and we have a pile of roughly 425 million of cash at the moment. So a fairly like good position to move forward and develop the business further and create owner value. But the highlights really of last year was that the market shares improved, as I already told. In a very difficult market, we managed to like keep our ASP on the back of the new product, so the ASP in euros per kilo declined only by 1.1%. As a result of the mix improvement, the new products, and the fact that the winter tire share of total sales increased to roughly 79% of volume and more than 85% of the passenger sales value. And of course, the new products and the distribution expansion. So we saw already like results from the fact that Vianor has been expanding again roughly with 170 shops. Okay, that as a summary, then we'll move on to more details and perhaps guidance also, if we move to page 9, where we have the creation or like split by quarter on how we were doing. During last year, we lost some EBIT during the first quarter due to the fact that we had stopped producing contract manufacturing for Bridgestone. Then in Q2 and Q3, we managed actually to do all-time high EBITs. And in the fourth quarter, as told, it slowed down a bit, mainly because of Russia and the weakening ruble. For this year, when looking at the situation, we believe that the demand is better on all our core markets. We believe that we will see demand improving in Central Europe. I'll come back to how much later on. Also in United States, due to the snowstorms, the inventories and the channel in this channel inventories are quite low, so it bodes good for sales during this year. And in Scandinavia, we also expect an improvement in the market and us to grow faster than the market. Our order book at the moment is still fairly low, which is quite usual for this time of the year, but of course it's improving. And we estimate that we will have a fairly low start for the year during Q1, perhaps in line with what we saw last year, and then gradually improving as we move forward during the year. If I would have to guess today, which is a good guesstimate, I would say that the distribution between EBIT, like build-up, and the split between the first and the second semester would be in the ballpark of 45 during the first half and 55 during the second. It could be 40-60. So it's going to be like an accelerating development. At the moment, we are running both plants at full capacity. So we are running the plant in Russia at full speed and the Finnish plant on the passenger side in 5 days full speed and on heavy side also full speed. Of course, it's partly because our inventory level in volume terms at the year-end was lower than the year before. And we need to also build up some inventory for the summer season and then also for the winter season and the deliveries of winter tires in Russia, which traditionally start already in March and April. So that perhaps about this slide. And we'll come back to the rest of the quarters as we move forward. But today is still a bit early to state where exactly we are going to be. If we then move to page 10, our pie chart on our markets, the situation we're looking at the portfolio geographically is pretty much the same as before. Russia represents in the ballpark of 40% of the manufacturing sales and Scandinavia in the ballpark of slightly less than 30%. And in these two markets, as we've told many times before, we have been improving our market shares and positions. And in fact, we managed in the Nordic countries to show a small growth despite the fact that the market was down about 2%. In Scandinavia, Nordic countries, we estimate the market to improve during this year with car sales starting to grow. We've seen already some indications for that. And also the tire demand to improve in the ballpark of somewhere between 2%-4% depending on what product category we are talking about. When looking at the CE area and in this chart, we're showing roughly a 6% growth compared to the previous year. It's been cleaned with taking out the contract manufacturing of Bridgestone. So this is pure sales of the replacement market. And as you may remember, we had a decline in Europe, in the European replacement market of 2% and a 5% decline in winter tires. Despite that, we had an improvement of roughly 6%. Our ASP came down a bit, but our profitability improved. You could basically say also that when looking at the different markets, is that we had an improvement in EBIT level, a slight improvement in Russia in absolute terms in EBIT and also in last year. In Scandinavia, we had a small improvement. And both of these are significantly higher than average EBIT of 33% in the car tire business. Central Europe, we managed despite the price drop to improve our profitability. Roughly, the EBIT level went from 27%-39%. And simultaneously, we had growth. I'll come back to Russia more in detail. Then a bit about this is the new chart, which we haven't showed for some time, but it discloses our European market share development and also the market development on page 11. And if we start with Europe, as Europe as a total, the market came down with roughly 1% last year. And as I said, winter tire came down by roughly 5%. Our in Western Europe, if we take a longer view from 2008 to the present situation, in winter tires, we have doubled our market share from 5%-10%. Last year, we managed to improve market shares and our sales, especially in Germany, which is the biggest winter tire market in Europe. Also in France and Poland, we made quite good progress. So now we are roughly 10% of with a 10% market share, becoming a bigger player also in the Central European markets. And I believe that the main reason for this is the launch of our new products, which we have continuously been doing for Central Europe during the last couple of years, combined with the build-up of our distribution network. You may remember that we started building Vianor and NAD distribution chains roughly 4 years ago. And that is something which is now starting to pay dividend and showing results, us being able to swim against the current. And of course, in the Scandinavian market, which is our traditional home market, we have been able also to continuously grow. Of course, we're approaching market shares which are so high that it's a bit dangerous to take much more. But if we take the development during the last 15 years, we've basically doubled our market share in Scandinavia also. If we take all summer and winter tires, we've gone from a level of roughly 15% to a 30% market share. And last year, we, with the new launch of Hakapelita 8, actually made an all-time high winter tire market share of more than 37% of all the winters sold in Scandinavia, being Nokian branded. So a quite good result. Unfortunately for us, the market was weak, and we were not fully able to capitalize on the good position. So what we are looking forward to is having, with the markets improving, a double effect of better distribution, better market share, combined with market growth. And when it happens, one day, I don't know whether it's this year or next year, we should see quite a healthy improvement in what we're doing. Okay, then I'll move on to the raw materials and a slightly more details on the comment before. Last year we had a very good tailwind. We had a decrease in raw material cost euros per kilo roughly by 30%. Which of course is one of the main reasons, or the main reason for like margins, that's both material margin and gross margin improving, as we lost about 1 point in the ASP. When looking at this year, our raw material costs are going to decline compared to last year's beginning, as we already have bought in the material. All our main materials have been contracted, and we know that we are going to decrease during the first quarter our raw material cost by roughly 16%. Then we are stating here that we are going to have a tailwind of roughly 22 million, 5%. That is based on perhaps some sort of like safety margin taken into account with the thinking that the raw material costs would start to go up during the second half of this year. At the moment, there is no indications of that happening, which means that the tailwind could be higher than we are estimating here. It could be, instead of 20 million, 30 million, instead of 5%, 7%. But as I said, that is still a bit uncertain, and therefore it's better to take a safe view on this aspect. Then let's move on to the our business areas and a couple of comments on the company structure and our business portfolio. We are now on page 14, the traditional tie and some numbers. What we have decided to do is we have previously been talking during a couple of years about perhaps changing our portfolio, capitalizing heavy tires, focusing and investing more in passenger. we have now decided to keep the structure which we have at the moment, at least for some time, and also the develop the heavy tire business. So I don't think that there is going to be any major changes during the next 2 to 3 years in the structure of our business. We have an inbuilt capability of improving our results and our sales without major capex, improving productivity and also returns on equity or net assets. We are utilizing presently only about 84% of the nominal capacity of passenger car tires, still doing the 33% EBIT margin in heavy tires. We are doing double-digit EBIT margins, utilizing presently in the ballpark of 65% of our capacities. So there is quite a lot of potential to within the existing structure to increase top line and simultaneously also to improve productivity and profitability and also rentability and cash flow. So we believe that when going forward, during the next couple of years, we'll be providing growth of between 5 and 15% and the growth accelerating. There is, as I said, potential to improve EBIT quite significantly when you're having higher utilization and with the capex requirement, which is lower than in the past, we should be able then also to improve cash flows and compared to last year, during this year, and also when going forward. So a fairly like good position to go forward from. And of course, with a strong balance sheet, that would mean slightly more dividends or looking at how to reward our owners. Then I'll move on and a couple more points on the passenger car business, and then I'll move on to Russia and also heavy tires. But a couple of points perhaps on the passenger car slide on page 15. We had last year the share of Russian production of the total increasing gradually. So we had about 80%, I think the exact number is 79.8 something. I don't remember the second digit, but 79% of production volumes produced in Russia. And of course, in the Russian factory, we have been, with the new automized lines, also shifted more of the production into the higher like utilized or higher automized lines. So despite like not being able to grow that much, we were able still to improve also productivity when looking at the production side, so we had an improvement in the output kilos per man hour. And if you look at our numbers, you can see that our salaries, in fact, came down last year compared to 2012 with a couple of million on group level as a result of the improved productivity. When looking at the share of winter tires, they went up, as I said already, from roughly 74 to 79% of volume and more than 85% of value. The growth areas were pretty much Central Europe winter, Nordic countries winter, and in Russia also winter tire in absolute terms. Had a growth. We enjoyed roughly 500,000 more units sold in Russia in winter tires last year compared to 2012. And when looking at the targets for this year, we aim to beat the market and be able to show higher growth than the markets generally. And the target is also to improve the utilization rate of production and through that be able to improve our and margin. One of the highlights, as I already told last year, was the launch of the new Hakkapeliitta 8 winter tire range. On page 16, there is a summary of test results. You could basically state that this product set a new standard for winter tires, and like, I don't remember exactly how many, but in the ballpark of 20 different tests in which we participated, and there was only one which we did not win. So we have to educate the journalist in the Mad magazine and let him drive a bit more on our tires in order to rectify it. And this year we are continuing expanding this range. So we already 2 weeks ago launched the follow-up expansion of Hakkapeliitta 8 with also now including all the SUV tires for the core markets into the same range. And we added also some new products in the light truck and van CE tires into the range. And I would say that when looking at the position at where we are today, our product range is the best ever during the roughly 20 years that I have been working with the company. So a very good position on that as well. Then let's move on then to Russia and spend time on that. So we'll move to slide 20, where we have the summary slide on our sales. And there's quite a lot of also information in the slides after that concerning the Russian economy, also car sales and an upgraded estimate for how we see the tire market developing. Last year, of course, the Russian economy, if we start a bit with macroeconomics, slowed down quite a lot compared to previous years. We had the GDP growing based on Rostat information a couple of days ago of roughly 1.3%. Car sales declined last year with 5%, down to about 2.8 million units sold, which was a 5% decline, and Western car sales declined, in fact, roughly by 3% last year compared to 2012. And it was helped a bit by the fact that there was an incentive program in place which was ended at the year end, but I believe that the biggest single factor for the decline was the fact that interest rates in Russia remained quite high for consumers. So consumer confidence is still on a fairly good level, but interest rates in Russia have been stalling consumer behavior and also investment in industry and trade. When looking at this year and the macros, we had various estimates, and they range somewhere between 2.5 to 3% in GDP. I personally believe, this is a very subjective view, that those estimates are perhaps a bit on the positive side. So I would myself say that we are in the ballpark of perhaps a 2% GDP, unless something is done about the interest rate and something else. Of course, the main driver, as usual, is energy and oil prices in the Russian economy. So we don't foresee a rapid turnaround in the market in Russia. Also, in car sales, there is still quite a lot of potential for growth. The car park per 1,000 capita is now hovering around 300, so it has expanded to a higher number. And we believe that during this year we will see a flat car sales in Russia. Again, there are like different estimates, and the outcome is quite difficult to state today, as we don't know what the Central Bank of Russia is going to do and how that is going to affect the general market. I think that the biggest uncertainty about Russian and CIS countries overall at the moment is the exchange rate, which last year the ruble weakened against the euro by roughly 11%. When looking at different estimates, we have some people believing that it will go down to 50 and there will be a further devaluation. Some say early, some say late, but there is also those who believe that the exchange rate will kick back and be on the level of 41 to 42. I personally can't take a certain like stand on that, but I don't see the I'm more perhaps on this devaluation side than on the strengthening. So we until we see some positive signs, it's still weak. As all of you, I'm sure, know, Central Bank has intervened and tried to support the ruble during the last week, and we'll have to see what the policy is going to be concerning that. Okay, that was a long story about macroeconomics, and of course our business is not totally only linked to macroeconomics, but what we do ourselves. But as we are the clear market leader in the marketplace, number one in volumes, price leader, and also in distribution, macros have some effect on what we are doing. But if we go back a couple of steps, last year the Russian replacement market for tires declined. And there is the full market declined by somewhere around 6 to 7%. There is no statistics available, so it's a bit difficult to estimate exactly. Industry pooling, which is all the major players like sending in the information, had a decline of 8.7% in volume terms last year. So what we did basically was we had an improvement in market share. As a end result of that, our volumes were roughly the same as before, with higher share of winter tire sales, like supporting the ASP, but also a higher share of mid-segment products, the Nordman like range, growing more than the premium range. So there has been a change in the market structure. To that extent, that the mid segment at the moment is the fastest growing segment in Russia. What was negative in the tire market was that we had two strong Japanese companies using the price weapon, which had an effect, especially in the mid segment. But despite that, we, as I said, managed to like do fairly well in the marketplace. And to improve our margins, gross margin and EBIT margin in the Russian entity. So perhaps that's enough about Russia on this stage. Then our development of distribution, which I believe is the key to our like, strong positioning market and also to past and future growth. We have at the moment more than 3,300 stores carrying Nokia products as a standard. And we expanded the Vianor network last year, so we have now in Russia CIS, we have now 621 shops. We added 88 shops during last year, and so roughly 1.5 shops every week. And so when we're looking at our situation compared to our competitors, we have in fact widened the gap, and they have not been able to narrow. So our main competitors are still a fraction of the structures which we have. So we still believe that distribution is our strong point, and will continue to be so it also in the future. For this year, we are looking at adding both the Vianors and also the new concept of which is called N-Tires. We are opening the first 12 shops in Moscow, which is targeted at slightly a different end consumer group in order to have also a better like foothold in the Moscow markets. In the rest of the CIS countries, we had a growth last year despite a very turbulent environment, especially in Ukraine. Our strongest like growth we saw actually in Kazakhstan, where we kicked back to more than the level where we used to be a couple of years ago, and we are continuing to improve the operations both in Kazakhstan and in Belarus, where we believe that we will continue to grow also during this year. Ukraine, of course, is a question mark in all senses, so we'll have to wait and see what happens politically before we take a strong view on the development over there. Our Russian factory, there is practically nothing new. We have 30 lines installed at the moment. We continue to develop the factory. There is still space for one more line. At the moment, we are not planning to install a 14th line during 2014. And our CapEx for the Russian plant for this year will be in the ballpark of 42 million euros. So we will complete a couple of upgrades of lines and also add a new slice to the new factory, putting in some new equipment in order to support the upstream of the processes, securing that there is no hiccups when moving forward. The potential, the capacity of the plant with existing machinery and production lines is in the roughly 15.5 million units, and the plant fully upgraded and fully installed with the 14 line and with some upgrades can go up to on the level of 20 to 21 million. So there is no immediate need to build a new factory in Russia, but we have potential to further go forward. On slides 23, 24 and 25, there is background information on the market, and I won't go deeper into that. Perhaps we can stop a bit on page 25 with how we see the markets developing. And on this slide, you see that we are factoring in for this year a slight total growth in the marketplace. The hoovering market is now in the ballpark of last year, slightly less than 40 million, about 39. And that this year we believe that it will be around 40 to 41 million units. The growth will not come from that much from car sales, but from the replacement market and the fact that the Russian car park continues to grow each year with more cars coming into traffic than going out. And our market shares in the segments when there is profitability in A and B improved. We are now up in winter tires in those segments to 38%, and then as a total summer and winter combined, we have roughly a 31% market share at the moment. Then we'll leave Russia for now and a couple of words about Vianor, our distribution chain, which last year we had quite a lot of negative EBIT during the first quarter, first half of last year. We invested quite a lot in changing the structure and going into the service business. We have now bought in the Scandinavian range 45 car service shops, which we have integrated into the structure. And the good part about that is that the level of service and the profits from the service are now starting to kick in. And when you look at the numbers of Q4, we had a decline in top line because of black winter, but we managed to do a better EBIT. We made 12 million EBIT in the fourth quarter, despite the fact that we had a lower top line. So profitability improved, and all of the profitability improvement was actually the fact that we are changing the business model to service. And our service is now like starting to to pay dividends in the structure. So we will continue to develop the equity part by adding service into the shops. And we believe that also when going forward this year, the fact that we don't have the startup and the consolidation cost of the shops will almost automatically see some improvement in the profitability of Vianor. The target is, of course, also then to utilize these concepts which we are developing, the equity-owned shops, to franchising, and we are already working together with, for instance, one of the big distributors and Vianor shop owners in Moscow in order to develop the service business also with franchise arm. And there are a couple of things which we are going to put in. Then moving on to the slide on structure 27, we had end of last year 1,206 shops in 27 countries. So we added the franchise chain a couple of countries and 169 shops. And we continue this year, as I already stated. This year, during the first, so we have added already a new country, Denmark, to the portfolio. We already opened the first four shops also in Denmark, and looking at that one, gradually starting to like move forward also on that market. In China, we are operating with the MAD concept. We have a couple of Vianors, but we've also done contracts with two major car brands, car manufacturers, one major Japanese company, which is the biggest car company in the world, I believe, or one of the three big, and then like a Scandinavian tasting like car manufacturer, which is owned by the Chinese. We are also working with them, putting like shopping shops, not possibly to their car shops. So we have already contracted more than 200, so it's basically rolling out already what's been with our partners. So very hopeful of that it will progress as planned. Then a couple of words about heavy tires and truck and bus. We told already in Q4 that we are going to combine these two smaller profit centers into one, which is still called Nokian Heavy Tires. So truck and heavy tires, page 30 and page 29. Together, these two business areas or profit centers have a top line of, last year they had 149 million of sales, and they made slightly more than 20 million of EBIT, which means that they are making about 30% of EBIT. At the moment, heavy tires making in the ballpark of 10-11% EBIT, and the truck and bus unit, which is consolidated to the same, making 17-18% EBIT margins. And so, in fact, when looking at the combined numbers of these two units, we managed with a flat or declining top line to improve profitability in these two units. And the market outlook for heavy special tires is better than last year. It started turning during the second half of last year. And in heavy tires, especially our key area, forestry tires, shows quite a lot better like estimates for this year than last year. So we, at the moment, are running flat out in the heavy tire factory. In fact, we have a bit shortage of product. Too low inventories and the lead times are starting to become a problem. So we need to like ramp up the utilization rate. So I believe that this is going to be like a new string to our bow. When looking at the total heavy tire, the new heavy tire potential, I believe that during the next 3 years we have a potential of improving top line by 50%, so multiple of 1.5, and taking the utilization rate from the present 65 to more than 95 would give us also an EBIT margin of more than 20% and a significant improvement in profitability and also in returns on the equity and assets. Okay, a couple of words about cash flow and our CapEx. On page 32, we have a histogram on our CapEx. Last year, we spent 127 million in building, still Russian operations, the new lines, and also like investing quite heavily into new products, more than 30 million in boards for new products. For this year, our budget for investment is 116 million, Russia taking about 40, and the Finnish plant, including also modernization and new mold, being in the ballpark of 50 million. And the rest then being upgrades in the distribution chain, buying a couple of shops on core markets and developing the service business, as stated before. And this means that this year we made a cash flow of 300, or last year, 2013, we made a cash flow of 325 million euros. Let's put it this way, that it's not going to be smaller this year, and we should see, at least mathematically when looking at the numbers, quite clear improvement in cash flow for this year. So I would be very disappointed if we end at less than 350, and then I'll be happy if we break the 400 million. Let's wait and see. It will depend on receivables and working capital moving forward as well. I think that pretty much concludes it. On page 34, we have a summary of the presentation. We are, let's say, cautiously optimistic about the markets. We believe that we will see good growth in North America, good growth in sales in Central Europe. We will see growth also in Nordic countries, and we'll see a flat market in Russia, some growth, but with the, like, let's say, question mark and parenthesis included, that ruble, of course, is something that needs to be taken into consideration when looking at top line. The ruble, and perhaps I should say something still about the ruble, because when looking at the like total effect of a ruble change, of course we have the cost in rubles as well, and more than half of the total volumes in Russia are exported and sold on markets with Western currencies, mainly in euros, part in Scandinavian currencies, and part in North America, but mainly euros and part in US dollars. So if the ruble weakens, we should still see a very small effect on EBIT. In fact, when looking at the results of last year, that 27 million of negative in ruble on top line, and quite clearly less than that when looking at EBIT, only a smaller. Actually, we guided for that in the profit warning during Q4, so you can stop the numbers there. I'll stop here, and we'll go to Q&A as usual, and we'll move first to the audience here in Helsinki. And as usual, please state your name and the company you're from, and you can ask whatever you like. I'll do the same on this then when answering. And then, of course, we'll move on to the phone lines and address those questions.
Tommy Lukuni from Carnegie. What is the pricing environment development for in Europe and more? particularly in Russia. You mentioned after Q3 that you saw some price increase.
Yes. Well, I already mentioned that we had like the end of 2012 and the first half of 2013 on global level, quite a lot of price fights going on. And the tide turned, if you like, during the summer of 2013. So the negative impacts and the reductions in prices have stopped. And we have seen already like some price increases, some made by ourselves in Central Europe. Also, we have made price increases in Russia in ruble terms for this year. And they have been sticking so far. We have not seen all the prices of our competitors for this year in Russia. But we estimate they will follow our price and the increases. The aggressors were supported by some exchange rate like differences last year. And when looking at the weak ruble, many of our, or most of our competitors being forced to import Russia, we estimate that they have a need also to like increase prices. So slightly positive also on the pricing issue compared to last year. So we don't see prices declining. Might be some like erosion in Russia due to the fact that the sensitive segment is growing. And growing faster than premium. So we'll have to wait and see. I don't expect any big changes. Fairly fast.
Hi, Kalle Karppinen from Danske Bank. Still a little bit on the same issue. On slide 25, where you have the Russian market forecast, If I read this correctly, the AMB market volumes are roughly flattish, but value in euros is still up. Mm-hmm. And if let's say a fair guess for ruble would be 10% lower. So that would mean forecast the market average price in rubles to rise by more than 10% in Russia. So am I reading this right?
Well, you are reading it not fully right because we have not factored in a 10% like. Weaken the ruble as such.
Okay.
So we have a slightly lower number when we're looking at that estimate.
Okay.
But in our case, if I continue a little bit on Tommy's and your question on the pricing, we have two contradicting factors in Russia when looking at the knockdown situation. We have the B segment growing, but in the B segment we have a new product called Norma 5. Which is priced roughly 10% higher than the previous Norma 4, which we had last year. So provided that like we are able to like shift the majority of the business to Norma 5, that should improve our business in the mid-segment. Also, when looking at the premium, we don't expect the market to grow that dramatically, but the share of Hakkapeliitta 8, which was new last year, and also the fact that we this year have launched the SUV, which is a significant part of premium tires, the Hakka range. With that, we believe that we will be able to like get some positive effect. So as I said, like volume growing in mid-segment, but the elements in these segments having some positives, which will offset some of the like volume mix change. Okay, other questions in Helsinki? Seems to be quiet, so we'll move on to the phone lines. And if there are questions in Helsinki, we can perhaps move back later on.
Thank you, sir. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question on the phone lines, please press star and one. Star and one to ask a question. Your first question from the phone line, sir, comes from the line of Erik Golrang from ABG. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I have three questions. The first one, you provided some comments, but could you please repeat where we are on inventory levels across your different regions given the black winter? Are they elevated anywhere?
Sorry, the line is exceptionally bad.
Okay, let's try again.
Okay, fine. I was helped here by one of the analysts. You are interested in the channel inventories.
Yes, correct.
On what I said, fine. So channel inventory are of course different when looking at the different markets. And if I start with the biggest market, which is the Central European market, the channel inventory, based on our estimates, is lower for winter tires this year than the beginning of last year. So we have a better starting point for winter tire sales in Central Europe when looking at inventory levels. And it may sound a bit odd because volumes were a bit down as such in Central Europe last year, but it has to do with the fact that sell-in, which declined with 5, we had sell-out not declining at the same level, and also wholesalers and retailers have changed to a pattern where they don't buy in before the season, pre-season sale, like inventories, but buy during the season itself. So which means that there has not been a pre-season build-up which will melt, but only like a trading during the season itself. This is, I think, a pattern which will also repeat itself during this year. But channels in Central Europe are lower than last year. This is one of the reasons that we estimate that when Central European total market will grow perhaps 2-4%, the winter tire volume we expect to grow between 5 and 10 in Central Europe. Then North America, this is very easy to explain. You just look at the weather-like reports during the last couple of months. Huge snowstorms and so on have emptied winter tire inventories practically, both on the Canadian and on the U.S. side. So there is a clear improvement in our core business to be expected in North America. Scandinavia, the inventory level on our markets is, of course, we don't have full visibility to our competitors like chains. In our own chain, it is slightly up, but let's say on normal level. So there is not any true problem there. So we think that the growth and so on will take care of that. Specifically in Sweden and Norway, we believe that the inventories are on quite a low level. So we see that as a positive. When looking at Russia, our biggest market, you have a slightly like different picture depending on what part of the market you're looking at. In Moscow, at the end of the year, the big wholesalers had fairly high inventories. In the regions, there was quite a lot of snow and a lack of winter tires. So inventory levels at the year end were quite low. And from what we have heard, the Moscow wholesalers have been able to like lower their inventory levels significantly when addressing them out to regions. So we don't see the inventory in the channel to be a major obstacle in Russia either.
Okay, thank you. And then just two quick questions. You said something about FX, but what would the FX impact be on EBIT on spot rates this year? And then lastly, you say market pricing is very tough in 13, but did you in any region cut your prices?
Okay, well, let's take it question by question. The first one was what?
The first one was on FX, the impact on EBIT this year on spot rates.
Okay, well, that we have not disclosed. But if you look at the text in profit warning, I think we estimated 14 million of EBIT effect to Forex. And that is not only related to the Russian ruble, but we had on top line, we had, as I stated, 56% of Forex impact EBIT level, the number I mentioned is a combination of all these currencies.
Thank you.
So if you factor in the bad debt plus this, you're back to the number, EBIT number we had last year, roughly. For the year before, in 2012. Okay. Any other questions?
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Thomas Besson from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning. It's Thomas Besson at Kepler Cheuvreux. I have several questions, please. First, Kim, on the dividend, can you explain why you've decided to maintain the dividend instead of raising it, given the strengths of your balance sheet and I think the aim at redistributing more cash from here, given your plans on CapEx?
Okay, well, yes, the line is breaking, but I think you asked why we're keeping the dividend flat.
Yes, why are you keeping the dividend flat?
Okay, well, let's put it this way, that unfortunately the Finnish tax authorities have penalized us during the beginning of this year, end of last year, with 100 million of additional tax to be paid. So that takes out a bit of the cash flow. But I agree with you that there is room to like improve the dividend from 145. We're taking it a bit cautiously. Also, the guidance I gave to you on the cash flow moving forward supports that. But so we took in the board a bit cautious view on the dividend because of all the tax issues which we have at the moment.
Okay. So another question for me, please. Your inventories in million euros at the end of 2013 were 7 million euros higher than at the end of 2012, despite very big move in currency and very big move in the raw material prices. So can you say in units how much your inventories have gone up in 2013 at your end, please?
From the top of my mind, we have in the ballpark of 400,000 tires less in our own inventories end of 2013 compared to 2012.
So can
our inventory numbers, which we report, are actually include also raw materials. So we, due to the low raw material price, we took quite a lot in. And so the value of finished goods stock and the volume of finished goods stock are down compared to the previous year.
Okay, very clear. Thank you. On the receivables, can you help me understand both the write-off you've made and the elevated level of receivables at your end? If we look at it as a proportion of your 12-month rolling sales, it's at very, very high level. And can you just help me understand what the impact of the ruble on the value of these receivables getting into 2014? Are we going to see another write-off just because of currencies on these or not?
Okay, well, if we take the total life receivables, again, from the top of my head, I don't have numbers here in front of me.
It's a bit more than 500 million euros.
5% of our total receivables at the year end, which is slightly less than the like share of the total business. So the share is down. We, as I said, we had a very good collection of receivables in Russia. There is no problem there. Our receivables are up in Central Europe, and as a matter of fact, we were like increasing sales through the second half of last year, and some of the like receivables were created quite late in Q4, so that had an impact on the receivables in CE. So basically, like ruble 35%, and nothing major there, and then receivables in Central Europe up a bit. But the rotation of receivables is pretty much on previous year's level.
Okay, very clear. Last question, please, Kim. Have you communicated on your plan to stay or to retire, or not yet?
I have not communicated, and when it's time to do that, we'll do so.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question on the phone line, sir, comes from the line of Austin Earle from Marshall Wace. Please go ahead. Austin Earle, your line is open. Please go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me? Hello?
I can hear you, yes.
Ah, okay, sorry, it's a very bad line. I had two questions. The first is just regarding your comment about more materials and the initial guidance of the 22 million euro benefit. Do you think that the spread between pricing being tight and that 22 million euros of raw material benefit, do you think that that will be a positive for EBIT or neutral or negative?
Well, let's put it this way, that like, if currencies are on present level, I believe it's going to be a positive. If there is a strong weakening of some currencies, we have to, of course, like, start increasing prices, but in a case of a like very strong devaluation of the ruble, it will be difficult to pass on immediately all the effects of a devaluation. So that might like eat into the benefit. If I would have to guess today what the effect is going to be, I would say that on raw material and gross margin level, pretty flat this year compared to last year.
My second question was just regarding the tax dispute that you're having. I wonder whether it would be possible for you to publish the actual report from the Finnish tax authorities.
Well, I don't think that it's possible. We can like pass on the information about the decision, but it's fairly like a long story and painful also in our opinion. I think that on this point of tax, I didn't address it in my presentation. First of all, it relates to the tax man in Finland, like looking at our business in Russia during the last couple of years, 2007 to 2010, and they've basically made a decision which, in our opinion, is totally against legislation. So it has no base in any legislation, not the Finnish legislation or the OECD ruling. Also, it would mean double taxation in two countries, which in Russia and in Finland, which also is against Finland and Russia has have a tax agreement, which means that double taxation could be prohibited. So it's against also those rules. And we have quite a couple of like expert opinions already from university professors, tax professors, who state that the decision is against legislation and also against all the like tax agreements which are applicable to the case. So the Finnish taxman seems to believe that they can create their own laws before the legislature, the parliament, has taken any decision. So, of course, we are going to strongly like fight the case, and we believe that we are going to win. It's going to be a quite painful and long process, unfortunately. And but end of the day, we believe that the money and the decision will be revised, and that our tax rate, which we forecasted as 17% going forward, will remain intact. If not, of course, it will increase somewhat. But based on legislation and tax agreements, we can't see that it will stick. So, fight is on.
Great. Thank you very much for your answers.
Thank you.
Thank you. And your next question comes from the line of Anil Sfera from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks for taking my questions. The first one is on the recovery you are seeing in Central Europe. You mentioned you believe 5 to 8% volume rebound this year. Is that something what you see already currently in your order book, or is it based on your inventory calculations, or where is that rather optimistic number coming from?
Well, first of all, I have to say that the 5 to 10% related to winter tires, and not to the total market. So we believe that the total replacement market will grow perhaps between 2 and 4%.
Okay.
It's based, the 5 to 10% is based on the fact that the sell-in during last year actually declined by 5. So 5% increase in volumes would be to go back to the levels of 2012, which also historically were quite low. So it might be that the 5 to 10% is a pessimistic view on winter tires and not an optimistic one. And our estimate based on this, plus the fact that when looking at the total car park, we believe that there is a pent-up demand on consumer level. When looking at the estimate of car sales for Central Europe, different analysts' reports state that car sales will increase. Some analysts state 4% compared to last year, some state 8%. So also the estimates from analyst reports on new car sales support the thinking that the winter tires, which in big markets are compulsory, would go up simultaneously with car sales. Our own order book is good for Central Europe, and our forecast from our key customers are also higher for this year than the last year. So it's a combination of all different information.
Okay. And last question is on your bad debt, the write-down you had to book again in the fourth quarter. Can you remind us again what that is related to, and should we expect further provisions in the first quarter of 14, or is that closed now?
No. It relates to Central Europe and the market situation there after the crisis. Some like cowboys in Germany, one fairly big wholesaler going into receivership at the end of the year. We were not the main supplier, but one of the four biggest suppliers to this company. Won't mention the name, but if you phone around a little bit in the German, like time, you will find out the company name as well. So it is a one-off, which doesn't relate to our business in Q4 or in 2013. It relates to like old sins from previous years, which used to be quite high, but unfortunately we can clear up totally. When looking at our like numbers and our balance sheet, our receivables, they are quite healthy, they are on a lower level, there is no like big overdue receivables, so I don't see any like bad debts being booked during this year. There is, we have very, very clean sheet.
Okay, thanks very much.
As usual.
Thank you, and your next question comes from the line of Gaëtan Toulemon from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Good morning. It's Gaëtan from Deutsche Bank. I hope you hear me well because the line is pretty bad on my side. I have a few quick questions and circling around a little bit the same subject as the previous question is if the ruble stay at the current level, what would be the impact in 2014? Is it roughly 50% more negative than in 2013? When you mentioned roughly 50 million negative on the revenues and 25 million at the operating level?
On top line, well, it depends on what date you are looking at. Are you looking at today's ruble rate or
47, roughly?
Or what level? But on top line, with today's number compared to the average of last year, we would be talking 12 to 14% top line effect on sales with stable like numbers. In EBIT terms, we would look at practically nothing, perhaps 1 or 2 million.
And the reason on the EBIT? The reason on the EBIT is because you increase the pricing, right?
Well, we increased pricing already, and of course we have a cost base in rubles, and roughly 55% of production this year is exported, and we are paid in euros but have the cost in rubles. So
okay.
The margin on the export would improve and balance out any negatives.
That's pretty clear. I'm going back now to the second question on the pricing side and going back to some previous point. Let's put Russia on the side, which is a little bit different. You mentioned in your statement that pricing is tough or whatever. But if I understood well your comment earlier, is that we should work in our numbers for 2014 with a positive pricing environment. Is it correct?
Yes, we're looking at like modest price increases in all markets, in Central Europe, also in North America and in Scandinavia.
Okay, so if we have 1 or 2% price increase plus the tailwind of raw material, the sum of those two guys will represent a pretty nice impact on your operating result, and that could explain why you're optimistic this year. Is it correct?
We are, yes. Modestly optimistic, yes. We have a good potential to improve both sales and EBIT.
Okay, I think it's pretty clear. My last question is on this tax rate. What advice do you give us in terms of using a tax rate for 2014 and 15?
I think you should use for 14 and 15 a tax rate which is in the ballpark of 16. Between 15 and 17. The tax rate is going up. We had in 2012 a tax rate of slightly more than 14.7. I think it was in exact terms. Last year, if we take out this additional tax, I think we had about 15.1% as a tax rate for the group. And our tax rate is going up a little bit this year due to the fact that the tax incentive in the Russian plant for the old plant is pretty much utilized, and we are now like living with the new contract for the second plant. So a slight increase in tax rate as a base for this year compared to. So we are talking. If I would be you, I would put in something like 16.5.
Okay. Okay. Last small question. You mentioned in your comment that you expect a weak first quarter, 14. A weak first quarter is what? Flat on last year, which was already weak vis-à-vis 2012. That's the order of magnitude?
Well, in fact, like if you factor out the contract manufacturing to Bridgestone, we were pretty much in Q1 on the same level as in 2012. And as there is no change in our business portfolio as such, I believe that we are going to be fairly close to the numbers which we had last year. It could be up a bit, or it could be flat, or it
okay.
could be down a bit. We don't know yet today.
That's clear. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. And your next question comes from the line of Eduardo Spina from Exane. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning. Thank you for taking my questions. I have three quick ones. One is on Ukraine. If you can tell us how much of it, how much is Ukraine on your group sales or manufacturing unit sales as a percentage, and how much the market has already declined in 2013.
Okay, well, if we take Ukraine as a total of passenger car business, we're talking about roughly 2.5% of line.
So okay.
It's not dramatic as such.
Okay, thank you. And with regards to the tax dispute and you appealing to that in the before the courts, Do you have an indication about how long this could take? You said long time, but is it like a few months or years to have a say from the judges?
I guess that you're asking about the process for tax, because I missed the start of your question. But it depends a bit on what route the authorities in Finland take. If we are able to use an accelerated route, which we are applying for, we are then talking perhaps about a year. If we talk about the normal process, we are talking about 3 to 4 years.
Okay, thank you very much. Very last one is on the pricing. I heard that you said positive pricing is realistic also in Central Europe. Is that specific to Nokian because you have new products or other reasons, or you think the market can support positive pricing in Europe?
I think it's both.
Okay, very clear. Thank you very much. Good luck with the dispute.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Artem Beletsky from SEB. Please go ahead.
Hi, Kim. It's Artem from SEB. Actually, I have two questions from my side. So the line was quite horrible. So maybe can you say again what is your view what comes to inventory situation right now in Russia?
Yeah, I think it's like pretty much the same as a year ago, with the difference that there is slightly more inventory in the channel in the Moscow region, and quite a lot less in the regions.
Okay, very clear. And my last question is basically on price increases, what you are implementing. So could you quantify how big those are for Central European market and for Russia?
Well, we already increased on the 1st of November in Central Europe price increases of between 3% and 4% in euro terms, and we did the same in Russia in ruble terms also, and we are looking at that, like adding in rubles something as we go forward now during the spring.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very clear. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Also, what perhaps is important to understand with Russia is that the way we have built our pricing structure in Russia is that there is an automatic change in prices month by month when we're moving forward, and we can change the pricing every month if we want. So there is a potential to react quite rapidly to any changes.
And your next question from the phone lines. Your next question comes from the line of Martino Dambrugi from Equita. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. I was wondering if, since you expect market volume recovery in Central Europe, is there any update on your plan to build up a new plant in Central Europe, or you simply don't need it, having available capacity utilization in Russia? The second question is on Russia. You mentioned...
Let's take it one by one,
yeah,
so that I remember what your questions are. But first the capacity issue. Yes, you're correct in that we have already platforms agreed in Serbia, which we were supposed to start. Those plans are for the moment on ice, and that has to do with the fact that the market development has been significantly lower than we expected when starting the project about 4 years ago. Today, in the present plant, we have capacity to increase output quite significantly. So the potential from, if we run the Finnish and the Russian plants at full speed and do the upgrades in Russia, we can add the ballpark of 9 million pieces, or increase the output by roughly 9 million. So we believe that is enough for a couple of years, so we don't have to start building factories this year.
Okay. And the second question is on Russia. You mentioned during your initial speech to Japan is already in competitive pressure. I was wondering what do you expect going forward? Are they the only ones, or do you expect a softer competition from these two? So what do you expect in Russia particularly?
Let's put this way. I mentioned already that the weaker ruble puts quite a lot of pressure on anybody importing into Russia to increase prices. So there is a lot of pressure to increase to our competitors. So let's say that our expectation is that they will increase prices and follow our lead. But as we haven't seen the prices yet, it's impossible to state exactly. Traditionally, when looking at the Russian market and the pricing environment, we've seen aggression in the market twice. Back in 2009, aggressors were also then Japanese companies. One of them is actually a big owner of Nokia Tyres. And also we saw the same happening last year as a result of the general global weak market situation. With the market improving a bit and the ruble, I don't see any need for them to be aggressive. I think they also learned something last year that there is very little price elasticity in Russia. Reduced prices doesn't give you more volumes. It only gives you back your own business with lower margins. As you may remember that we are the highest priced product in the market and we bring market share in a falling market.
Okay, if I may, my last question is on the winter tire legislation. If you expect any change going forward all over your selling products.
Sorry, I have to say that the line is so bad.
Yeah, I know. Also, my line is bad. No, just if you expect any change in winter tire legislation in different countries.
At the moment, for this year, I don't expect any major changes now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And there were no further questions on the phone line, sir. Please continue.
Okay, it would seem that like we have to put a cap on all the phone questions. The lines are bad, so perhaps you can... With the rest of your questions, you can give me or Anna, our CFO, a phone call, and we'll be happy to help you with any further information. Is there any questions here in Helsinki, or have we covered most points? I suppose we have. So thank you for attending, and let's see you again after Q1. Bye for now.